at something to what was discussed. In general, Hebrews gives us the type of Moses and Joshua. If you read about Moses, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. But when you read about Joshua being a type of the Lord, he's the captain of salvation, bringing many sons to glory. As far as the type. But I think we have to take hold of that truth. There is a gift that is given in Romans chapter 12. It says, he that leadeth with diligence. Leadership, dear brethren, is not something that we pass to our own children and whoever we would like to continue the last name. Leadership is something that is given sovereignly by God himself. And that's why when Moses came with the great desire of a shepherd heart, he says, the God of all spirits. And the Lord responds, no. It is not on that line of spirits, because the first spirits is the spirits of men. But the Lord says, it is whom I have the spirit. And brethren, this is why sometimes we have to be very careful. Because the way we evaluate leadership, well, he has a nice spirit, a mild spirit, a hot spirit. We mingle all the spirits together and we make our evaluation. But God's evaluation about leadership is someone that he has the spirit. That one that is recognized being governed by the Spirit of God with every activity that he does or says. So is it easy to be a leader? Not as far as Moses is concerned. He said, we need a person that is going to go out before them. Going out about what? Just to walk out? To lead battle. To lead warfare. To lead the conflict. Because we know that in Christianity, there's conflict. So Joshua's feature has to go out before them. And what else? Come in before them. Brethren, leadership is not isolation from the people of God. That we set ourselves on a pedestal and we keep this line of separation. We're not the ark and we will never be the ark. The only one that has a distance is none other but the Lord Jesus. But as far as he comes in before them, he knows the needs of the people. But not only that. In the first aspect was he. But the second aspect, he will bring them. Now it's the company. And the challenge of leadership that Moses is thinking about is not only one that is competent in himself because of the Spirit of God, but one that have heart for the people of God, that is willing to bring them out, but also to bring them in. Talk about type of the Lord. What a wonderful thing that he brought them in into favor with the Father and to worship the Father. But just by way of leadership, these are features, dear brethren, that need to be displayed in leadership that the Lord will set amongst the saints of God.
So as we see Joshua moving forward, he did experience the things we said earlier. While his name is not mentioned, he did experience seeing Moses strike the rock. He heard Moses' words speaking about the people as rebels, and he learned from that. I'm making a practical application as well, because we do learn good things, and we also learn things that we shouldn't repeat. And he saw God's judgment upon Moses. I think what we find here is in the way in which he is brought forward, we bring the priesthood, and Eleazar is brought in the next verse, verse 19. Eleazar is the third son of Aaron. Remember, the first two had sinned and their lives were taken as judgment. And when we think of that fact that Eleazar is the third son, I think we do think of that thought of resurrection. So in a sense, Joshua, with Eleazar's name being mentioned, would suggest that Joshua represents the Lord Jesus in resurrection. In other words, he is the one who is going to take us through the river of Jordan into the land of promise. And in that way, he's different than Moses as a type of Christ, who was the one who brought us through the Red Sea, Moses, that is. So that's a type of Christ dying for our sins, whereas Joshua is a type of Christ in resurrection. And I make that link because of Eleazar's name mentioned here. But see how God wants to make no, there, this cannot be questioned who God's choice man of man was. There could not be questioned. This was a consecration of a sense that had God's ordination. There was the Urim in verse 21. And there was, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in. He was going to have God's sanctioned authority just as Moses did. And God was going to use Joshua in a miraculous way, just like Moses. What a wonderful thing that God had found his man. You know, there's some days there is no man that he can find, but God found a man. And may it be that we, in a practical way, would strive to be like Joshua here, that Moses is going to pass out of the scene. Is there someone? God is searching. He's questing. Is there one faithful person that I can entrust this particular responsibility to? And he finds one. How wonderful that is. We may want to move further because we only have 35 minutes and we've covered only the first portion. So if there's no other comments, well, there could, a lot could be said about this portion. The laying on of hands, not done suddenly, but at the direction of the Lord and so forth. We could turn to the next portion in Deuteronomy 31. And I think it's so wonderful to see that Moses in Deuteronomy 31, knowing that he's going to depart, he has the desire to encourage the younger Joshua. How wonderful that is, you know. No bitterness in Moses, no regrets, but rather focused on the next generation and wanting to encourage. How much do we need to encourage one another? And how rare it is. Encouragement is a lost art among us. We need to encourage each other, you know, not just in little things, but in big things as well. And Moses does this. He encourages him by having Joshua focus on the Lord. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Be of good courage. Be of good courage.